بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم فقهنا في الدين وعلمنا التأويل. Honorable brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to all of you for tonight's halaqah. We pray that Allah make it very beneficial and maximize our learning and our understanding and inshallah benefiting of this knowledge. And we're continuing in this class, which is on the fiqh of salah. The topic tonight is about the sajda of shukr. The sajda of shukr, or the prostration of giving gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a very important topic. This is one of the very, very important topics regarding the importance of giving shukr to Allah and how to give shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we pray that Allah give us the understanding inshaAllah ta'ala. The hadith for tonight is narrated by Abi Bakr. Abi Bakr with a ta marbuta, not Abu Bakr, but Abu Bakr with a ta, sahabi, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to, if a good news that pleased him came to him, would make a sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا كان كان إذا جاءه خبر يسره خر ساجدا لله سبحانه وتعالى. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, if he heard some good news, happy news, he would fall down and make a sajda to Allah سبحانه وتعالى. So here, the scholars, they say the sajda to shukr, prostrating to Allah when we have some goodness that comes to us or some harm is warded away, is from the sunnah. Whenever a blessing is renewed, the news of a blessing comes to us, because we're always in a state of blessing. But when we hear the good news or a new blessing comes, or reminded, we hear the news of a new blessing, then the sunnah is to fall down. Oh, thank you, brother. Jazakallah khair. The sunnah is to make a sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to show our shukr to Allah. And at the same time, if some harm is warded away, then the sunnah is to fall down in sajda. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to do whenever he heard something that made him happy, some ni'mah, some blessing from Allah, he would fall in sajda. And so here the ulama, they say that every believer, every person, these two things, to get some goodness, some blessing, or keep away evil, this is the goal of every wise person. No matter what his religion is, no matter what his philosophy of life is, every human being, they strive to achieve one of these two things. Either to bring some benefit to himself, or to keep away something harmful from himself. So the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he blames the mushrikeen for worshipping the idols, because they're stones, and Allah says, do they benefit you or do they ward off harm? The idol, the stone, cannot do that. Only Allah does that. So sajda shukr, it is showing the gratitude to Allah for one of these two blessings that every human being should strive for all the time, either to bring benefit or to ward off harm. Because other than that, it's fruitless. The efforts are fruitless. If somebody does something that doesn't bring him any benefit, or doesn't keep away any harm, what's the use of that action? These are the things that are truly beneficial for a person. And so, Imam Shawkani, he narrates another hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. One time, he was on the way from Mecca to Medina, and he stopped by a place, and he fell down in sajda for a long time. And then he stood up and he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after that, he fell down in sajda again for a long time. And then he stood up and he made dua to Allah. And then a third time, he went down in sajda for a very, very long time. And then he stood up and he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the sahaba, they saw this And they asked the Prophet ﷺ, "What was this that you were doing?" He said, "I asked my Lord, I asked Allah to save my ummah from the hellfire. To save them," or excuse me, he said, "I asked Allah to have rahmah on my ummah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me one third of my ummah. So then, one third of my ummah will have the rahmah of Allah." So then the Prophet ﷺ said, "I fell down in shukr to Allah. Alhamdulillah, you saved one third of my ummah. You gave mercy, excuse me, rahmah to one third of my ummah." He said, "Then I stood up and I made dua again for my ummah. And then Allah answered and He said, I gave you another third of your ummah, two thirds. So then He said, I made sajda right away to give shukr to Allah for giving rahmah to my ummah." And finally, he said, "I made a third time a dua, and after that I made sajda to Allah, and that all of my ummah will have rahmah." So the Prophet ﷺ wanted to show his gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is called the sajda al-shukr. And so, this is a fiqh issue that comes up: is the sajda al-shukr, is it a salah or is it just a sajda? And there's a difference of opinion amongst the ulama. When we talked about the tilawa, the recitation, some of the ulama, they say that sajda of tilawa and sajda of shukr is a salah. You have to have wudu, cover the awra, face the qibla, say takbir and say taslim in the end. And the Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, it's just a sajda. It's not a salah. So you don't have to. There's no evidence in the sunnah that the Prophet ﷺ, he turned to face the qibla or so on. He just made sajda. So we don't. We have those views amongst the scholars, inshallah. So here, the Prophet ﷺ, when he was teaching us how to show shukr to Allah, and this is what Allah commands, or this is what we learn in the Quran: "Rabbi awzi'ni an ashkura ni'mataka allati an'amta alayya wa 'ala walidayya." This dua that we're taught in the Quran: "Rabbi awzi'ni, oh Allah, help me to give shukr for your blessings that you gave to me and to my parents." So this is a very important component of what the Quran is teaching us and how to show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what comes up here, we also find that in the battle of Tabuk, how do we show shukr to Allah? How do we show our gratitude, our thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The ulama say that we must show that blessing. We should try to show the traces of that blessing, as the Prophet ﷺ taught, that Allah loves to see the traces of His ni'mah, athara ni'matihi ala abdihi. So even showing that blessing in the way that we dress or speak is very important. And in this hadith here, that there was a man who was going to the battle, and he had a servant boy, and the servant boy was wearing rags. So the Prophet ﷺ, he told the master, he said, doesn't he have anything else to wear? He said, yes. So then he went back and he wore some nice clothing. So then the Prophet ﷺ, he told the man, he said, may you be sacrificed for the sake of Allah, the servant. And the servant said, peace be to Allah, let it be in the path of Allah. And he went in the battle and he died, peace be to Allah. But the point, the story here, the Prophet ﷺ, he was so happy when he saw the boy wearing the nice clothing. And he didn't like it when he was wearing the patched up clothing. He wanted to see the blessing on him. And here the ulama, they say that Allah loves to see that. They give an analogy. Just like if an employer or a master, he gives so many blessings, so much wealth and money to his servant, but the servant, he looks so poor and covered in, you know, patches and things like that. So somebody looks at the servant boy and he says to the master, why don't you take care of your servant boy? And the master, he says, I did. I gave him so many blessings. So the master is not happy when the servant doesn't use those blessings or show them. This is Allah has the greatest analogy. But likewise, Allah loves for us to show the ni'mah that He gave us. He loves us to show it even outwardly for the blessings that He has given us. And also, you know, the scholars, they say that a person, if he's in the desert, he's traveling, maybe he might wear rough clothes working. But when he comes to the masjid or he comes to a gathering of people, then he can wear something nice and appropriate and more. This was the habit of the Prophet ﷺ. When he met the people, he had a special cloak that he used to wear. Now, and the Prophet ﷺ, he would wear his best thobe when he met the delegations. Now, and he was happy to see that on the people. And also the scholars, they say by giving shukr to Allah, this causes the blessings to remain and continue. If we show our shukr to Allah, our gratitude to Allah, then those ni'mas, those blessings will continue. Allah will give us more of them. And He will keep them for us by showing that ni'mah. And by showing the blessings, even on our clothing, on the way we dress, it's showing our gratitude to the one who gave it to us. You know, when Allah gives us enough wealth or good clothing and so on, we wear it, it's as if we're showing that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we appreciate the blessings that He that He gave us. And there's a famous story, we talked about it last week, about the three men. One was a leper, and one was a bald man, and one was blind. And so Allah wanted to test them to see if they'll be grateful. So He sent an angel, and He went to the leper and He said, "What would you like?" He said, "I wish that I'd be cured from this skin disease, because everybody hates it." And he said, then the angel touched him and he was cured. And then he said, "Ask anything you like." He said, "I want a pregnant she-camel." And then Allah gave it to him through the angel. Gave it to him by Allah's permission. So then the angel went to the bald man and he said, "What would you like?" The bald man, he said, "I wish I had hair so people would like to see the hair on my head." So the angel touched him and he was cured from the baldness. And then he said, "What would you like?" He said, "A pregnant cow." So the angel gave it to him. And then he went to the third man, which was the blind man. He said, "What would you like to have my eyesight back?" The angel touched him and by Allah's permission he was cured. Then he said, "What would you like?" He said, "A pregnant sheep." So then he got it. Now Allah wanted to test those people. So He sent the same angel to them in the form of a beggar. And so the beggar, he went to the person who had leprosy. And he said, "Can I have..." He said, "Didn't you used to be a leper? Didn't you used to have bad skin?" He said, "Oh no, no, I was always healthy." And then he said, "Can I have some wealth? I'm poor." The man said, "Oh no, this is my wealth I inherited from my parents. I'm not going to give you any." So then the leper said, if what you say is not true, may Allah return you the way you were." The angel, excuse me, the beggar said that. "May Allah return you the way you were," and he was punished by going back to the way he was. And the same thing happened. He went to the bald man, and the bald man denied the blessings, and he was returned back. Then he went to the blind man. And the blind man, what did he do? He said it differently. He said, "This is the blessing. Allah gave me my sight back. He gave me this wealth. Take anything you want, and I will not be happy if you leave anything for me. Take whatever you want. This is a blessing that Allah gave me." Because those sheep, they had kids and they had so many animals. So then Allah was pleased with that person, the blind man. But He was displeased with the other two. So this shows you, if we give shukr, then Allah will keep those blessings coming. If we don't, He might cause a person to lose those blessings. Also, we see, honorable brothers and sisters in Islam, again, that... some of the blessings we had nothing to do with how they came to us. Three blessings that we have, these are three major blessings, there's more, that we have that we had nothing to do with it. Number one, that we exist. Allah created us out of nothingness. It was not my effort, it was not our effort, but Allah brought us into existence. The fact that we exist is nothing to do with our effort. Allah brought us into this world. Now somebody might say, "But didn't our parents do some effort to, that's how come we're here?" But the answer to that is that even the husband and the wife, is it guaranteed they'll have children? That's a blessing from Allah. Even to have the children, as Allah says, some He gives the female, some He gives a male child, some He gives male and female. Some He leaves them aqima, no children. So even the parent, the husband, the when the husband and wife getting the child is from Allah. It's not by the effort of the parents. So that's number one, a blessing that we have. The second blessing that we have, that we have nothing to, that it's not from our own effort, it's completely from Allah, is that He guided us to Islam. That He made us Muslim. And He could have made our parents two Christians. He could have made our parents two Jewish. But alhamdulillah, for most of us, He made our parents both Muslim. And so He caused us to be born on Islam and grow up on Islam. So this is a great ni'mah, a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He gave us Iman, He gave us Islam. And we know stories of some people in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no matter how close they were to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they didn't get the hidayah. And we know the story of the two Umars. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, let one of the two Umars become a Muslim, Umar ibn al-Khattab, or Umar, who is Abu Jahl. So then Allah guided the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He guided Umar to come to Islam, even though he hated Islam. He was an enemy to Islam, and he didn't guide Abu Jahl. So you see that the guidance comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar, he hated, he was going to kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The story is famous, but he came to the guidance. So here, this you know, the blessing of having Iman in Islam, it's completely from Allah, not by our own effort. And on the Day of Judgment, many people, they'll say, I wish I would never even was born. Ya laytani kuntu turaba. Those who didn't have Islam, they wish they didn't even exist. So what a blessing it is indeed to have been guided to Islam. And also here, entering Jannah, the third blessing, that's not a result of our, that's not due to our effort. Entering Jannah is not by our effort. It's by Allah's rahmah, Allah's mercy. لَن يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةِ The Prophet ﷺ said, nobody will enter Jannah by his actions. They said, oh Rasulullah, even you? He said, not even me, unless Allah sends His rahmah, His mercy upon me. Then I'll enter the Jannah. Going into the Jannah, entering the Jannah, is a fadl from Allah. It's not because of our actions. Honorable brothers in Islam and sisters in Islam, our actions, if we try to give shukr to one blessing, the eyesight or the heartbeat, that beating through 60, 70 years, we have our hearing is with us our whole life, our seeing, our lungs, our heart is pumping. These blessings, even if we worshipped our whole life, we would not even give enough gratitude for one of those blessings. So not to mention the entering of Jannah. Entering of Jannah is something so great, it is only by Allah's fadl, Allah's mercy. But after going into Jannah, then the status that people will have in Jannah, what will it be due to? The actions that they did, right? The people who did more actions, more good deeds, they'll have a higher place in Jannah. And people who did less, they would have a lower place. But getting into Jannah in the first place, that's not by our power. That is by Allah's, you know, just putting us in Jannah is such a blessing that we don't even deserve it, but He gives us that. But how, where He places us in Jannah is one of the blessings that that Allah will do based on how many good deeds that a person has, inshallah. Even they mentioned, every person has two chairs or two places, one in Jannah and one in hellfire. Every person, when he goes in his grave, he'll see a window, that will be his place that was meant for him in Jannah, and that was his place that was meant for him in the hellfire. And if he believed, it will be said, if you, for the Muslim, it will say, if you had disbelieved, that would have been your place in the hellfire. And it will be said to the kafir, if you had believed, that would have been your place in Jannah. So he'll even see those places, that, but by the grace of Allah, that they will, the people who had Iman, they will go to that place in Jannah. And now they say, the scholars, they ask, those people who go in the hellfire, when they see their place in Jannah, is it gonna remain empty, that land or that place in Jannah, or will Allah give it to other people in Jannah? Will Allah leave that place empty where the kafir would have been, or does He allow other people to inherit it? Anybody wanna guess? Of course, yes. Allah will give it to other people, inshaAllah. They will inherit it. Some people, depending on the how much blessing, some people might get 10 plots or 10 places in Jannah. they would have been for those kuffar if had they believed. Some people might get one or two, some people might not get any, but depending on Allah's bounty and blessing. But the analogy here the scholars give is like when you go to a wedding. In the wedding they have different foods, they have dessert, you know, you have some really fancy dessert, you have meat. But getting into the wedding, you need the invitation. Once you get into the wedding, then you can go and choose, you know, get nicer dessert or nicer food, get a seat close or whatever. These are within, but to get in, you have to have the invitation first. So, like that analogy that Allah gives us the invitation, He allows us to go into Jannah. Once we get that blessing from Allah, that rahmah from Allah that He gives us Jannah, then because of our deeds and so on, He might give, we can get a higher place, more blessings inshaAllah ta'ala. But we have to always be thankful to Allah and ask Him for that, to give us the entrance of Jannah inshaAllah ta'ala. One last thing here, Allah, I won't keep you too long, is that when we look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah Al-Duha, Allah is telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of all the blessings He gave him. He said, وَالْضُحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى, by the daybreak and by the night, your Lord has not left you and abandoned you. أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمٌ, didn't He find you an orphan and He protected you? وَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى, didn't He find you astray, lost, and He فَهَدَى, then He gave you guidance. أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ عَائِنًا فَأَغْنَى, didn't He find you poor and needy, and He made you rich, He gave you the needs that you have. So then, after this, then He shows us, Allah tells us how to give shukr for those things. فَأَمَّنْ يَتِيمُ, for the poor, the orphan, then do not turn him away. Don't be harsh towards him. And as for the beggar, don't turn away from him. Don't cut him off. And for the blessings of Allah, فَحَدِّ, to tell and speak about the blessings of Allah. So this surah here, it's telling us, he's reminding the Prophet ﷺ about all these blessings and then how to give the shukr for that. Allah gave him the hidayah, He gave him protection as an orphan, and He gave him the wealth and so on. So this is a very interesting, you know, important point to have that shukr. And also the scholars here, they say that when Allah swears by things in the Quran, He swears by them for a reason. He doesn't just come with, like He says, وَالْضُحَى, by the daybreak. It's not just random. But actually the Shaykh Amin al-Shanqiti, he said there's a connection between when Allah swears by something and what's going to come after it. There's some kind of connection to it. So in Surah Al-Duha, they say by the daybreak, the daybreak is the most beautiful, blessed, peaceful time of the morning, of the day. And that's the beginning of the day. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى, in the night time, سَجَى is referring to a night that is so peaceful, so quiet, no wind, no storms, or hard things. So this is the whole lifespan that a person has. Basically, from the morning until the night, Allah is swearing by it that He's given us this life. Right? He's given us all, because our lives are just time. And He's swearing by this beautiful time that He gave us, our creation and our life. Then He's reminding us of our blessings. You know, just like how beautiful the morning is, how beautiful the night is, that's how beautiful Allah has given us of blessings, inshaAllah ta'ala. La uqsimu bi mawaqi'in nujum. I swear by the setting of the stars, wa innahu biqasamu law ta'lamuna 'azim. It's a huge blessing, swearing if you knew. Innahu la Qur'anun kareem. It is the noble Qur'an, fi kitabin maknoon, a protected book. لا يمسه إلا المطهر, only the purified ones touch it. So what is the relationship between the setting of the stars and the Quran, the ayahs of the Quran? Some scholars said that the stars are so far away and they're so perfect, nobody can change them and move them around. They're fixed, they're so far and so protected, nobody can go there and take them or move them or do anything to them. And likewise are the ayahs of the Qur'an. They're protected. Nobody can go there and do anything to them. They're so perfect and so great nobody can harm them or change them. So there's a connection in the oaths. So this is a kind of the one of the reminders of Surah Al-Duha, inshaAllah ta'ala. Okay, so how do we give shukr? This is the last part of the dars, inshaAllah. How do we show the gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can we show the gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Number one is to use that blessing itself. Within the blessing itself, we show gratitude to Allah. And so, for example, a farmer, if Allah blesses him with crops and fruits, he takes from those blessings, he gives them to who? To who? Everybody here? Who does he give the blessings to? If you want to show your shukr, you're a farmer, you have so many blessings, right? So when you get all those crops, what do you do with it? Yes. Do you consume all of it? Do you give it all, bring it all to the market? You give some of it to the poor. So using the blessing itself, that's the one type of shukr, is using from the blessing itself. You give it to the poor, for example. You give a portion of that crops to those who need it. They say even the blessings of your strength, your hearing, your sight, you use that blessing to help others. That's how we give shukr. The Prophet ﷺ said, helping a man onto his camel is a sadaqah. So if you, that person, he's in need, he doesn't have enough power by himself to go up on the camel. So you go there, Allah gave you strength, He gave you, you know, high enough muscle power, you can lift him up and bring him up, because he needs it and you have it. And so you help him with it, then you're using that ni'mah Allah gave you to help another Muslim. So you know, everything that we have, even the sajda, the shukr itself, when you do the sajda, you're using the Allah blessed you with your body. When we make sajda itself, is using these blessings Allah gave us and showing our shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's one of the greatest ways to show shukr. Now, and we know the story, there's two stories mentioned in the Jannah about this. The people in Surah Al-Qalam, there were some people, they had the garden, and they made a promise. They said, Allah yadkhulanna al-yawma alaykum miskin. That today we're going to hide, usually when they got the crops, when they did the hisad, they reaped the crops, then the poor would come waiting. They say, we know today is the day of harvest. Can you give us some poor? So they made a plot. They said, we're going to go there and we're going to, get all the crops and in the morning, early in the morning, before the poor wake up. So when they come, we're going to be gone already. See how evil, how ungrateful they were? So what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? فَطَافَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَائِفٌ فَطَافَ عَلَيْهَا طَائِفٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. Allah sent a hurricane or a tornado, so it destroyed all the crops at night, or a frost, or... And then when they came in the morning, they had this evil plan. We're going to get all the fruits and run away before the poor people come. And everything was destroyed. Everything was gone. So they didn't give shukr. And on the other hand, we have in the sunnah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us of a man, there was a cloud, and a person heard a voice in the cloud telling the cloud, go to the farmland of so-and-so and send the rain on his crops. So the man, he was shocked. Where did this voice come from? He looked around. It says in the hadith, he was in the middle of a desert, nobody around. Where did that voice come telling the cloud to go water the crops? So, of a person. So he said he followed the cloud by walking in its shadow. The man walked under the cloud in the shadow until the cloud came to the land, a certain farmer's land, and started raining on his farm. So the man, he said to the farmer, "Oh, Fulan," he said him by name. So the farmer said, "How do you know my name?" He said, "Just tell me, what do you do? What happened?" He said, "Why? What are you so curious about?" He said, "The man said, I saw a cloud and I heard a voice telling the cloud, go to the land of so and so by name, and water his farm." So the farmer, he said, when I get the harvest, I take one third of it and I give it to the poor. And one third of it I keep for my family and ourselves, and the other third I put back in the land to grow new crops. So then the man, the observer, he said, perhaps this is definitely why. This is why this cloud has come to you. By him giving the shukr to Allah through those blessings, then Allah even caused more rain and more blessings to come to him. So by giving shukr, it causes the increase and the protection of those blessings by giving the gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Najashi, an interesting story. You heard of the Najashi? What country was he the king of? Abyssinia, Habasha, nowadays Ethiopia. So the Sahaba, they had made a hijra over there, you know, in the beginning time, and some of them stayed there. And one day the Najashi called the Sahaba and he said, come to my court. So the Sahaba came in, and something really strange that day. The Najashi was sitting on the floor, bare floor, not even on a mat. And he uncovered his head and he was making dua, or he was praying, something like that. So the Sahaba were so shocked. They said, what happened? Najashi, why are you doing this? He said, I have received news that Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was given victory against the Quraysh in the Battle of Badr. He said, they met in a place, a valley called Badr. And he said, I know that place. I used to raise camels there. And he said, I heard that your Prophet has been given victory against the Quraysh in that valley. So I wanted, and he said, and Jesus told us, Isa alayhi salam told us, when Allah gives you a blessing, then speak about it in a humble and grateful manner. So he said, I wanted to show my gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Najashi, he sat on the floor and so humble to Allah, out of gratitude for the victory of Prophet Muhammad in the Battle of Badr, subhanAllah. So he showed that shukr, and that shows us that giving shukr was in the sharia of the previous prophets. Giving the shukr and showing our gratitude to Allah is an old concept that was in the previous risala. But the sajda shukr is what we learn in inshallah from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the last thing, and this the Shaykh, he quotes a few more hadith, that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent Ali to Yemen, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made sajda when the people of Yemen accepted Islam. So this shows you again, as soon as he heard that Ali, he went to Yemen and everybody accepted Islam, what a great blessing. The whole country accepted Islam. So he fell down and made sajda. Because Ali was successful in the da'wah. And this is a side point. There's a hadith that says the people of Yemen have the softest hearts and the most gentle, best character and so on. And so why is it that people of Yemen have that hadith about them? That they have the softest hearts and attitudes? Does anybody know in tafsir what it mentions? Anybody from Yemen here? They accepted Islam without fighting, without resisting. When Ali went there, they all accepted Islam. They didn't resist Islam. That shows you their hearts were very soft and ready. And so when the Prophet ﷺ got news that Yemen accepted Islam, the whole country, he fell down in sajda. He was so happy for that blessing. No. And so this is inshallah some of the rulings about the also Abu Bakr. He continued this, that shows it's not just for the Prophet ﷺ. When Musaylimah al-Kadhab, the false prophet, you heard of him, he was killed, Abu Bakr fell down and made sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yes, this is an important sunnah, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah make us all of the shakirin, the people who give shukr to him, inshallah. Any questions? Sajda to shukr? Yes, welcome. No? What do we say in a sajda to shukr? I don't know if there's any specific dua. I believe it's same like any other sajda. Any other sajda. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's a difference of opinion. Some ulama, the Shafi, Imam Shafi says you say salam in the end. Do two takbirs and say salam in the end. But the other school, like Ibn Baz and the Hanbali school, they say you just say Allahu Akbar, do a sajda, that's it. You don't even say this second takbir, you just come up and, because there's no text that says more than one takbir, it just says one, but inshallah. Depending on if you consider it a salah or not. If you consider it a salah, then you have to say another takbir and then salam out, inshallah. Inshallah ta'ala. Yes, any other questions on the subject of shukr? Yes.
You have to face the Kaaba while you...
If you follow the view of Shafi'i, it's a salah. Salah, what do you have to do? You have to face the Qibla. If you follow the view of Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, it's just a sajda. You can face any direction. You don't have to face the Qibla. Inshallah ta'ala. That's a good question. Jazakallah khair. Alhamdulillah. One of the greatest blessings also is when Allah gives the knowledge of some, the knowledge of some, and Iman. It was the greatest. Allah gave us Iman, He gave us faith in Him, inshallah. May Allah always give us shukr for all of His blessings. Any other questions, inshallah? Shadab, from Shadab, no? Maryam? She's taking notes, mashallah. Khair, inshallah? Yes, brother, come on.
We can pray, you know, extra nafal, you know, then
Salat al-shukr. There's no salah for shukr. There's not a specific salah for shukr, but in a general sense, you know, a person can pray salah to show their nafal in general as a type of shukr. But what is legislated is the sajda of shukr. I mean, this is, and it's when a blessing is renewed. Some people, I've seen some people, they do this. One brother did this. After every salah, he used to do one sajda. After every salah. So some brothers, they asked, they said, why are you doing the sajda? He said, I have to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actually, that's true, we have to be grateful. But the sajda is when there's a renewed blessing. The Prophet ﷺ didn't do one sajda after every salah. We're always in blessings all the time, but when it renews, like you have a child. Alhamdulillah, we have other children. Every day they're alive, it's a blessing. But when a new blessing gets renewed to us, or a news comes to us, some good news, or some bad thing that we were afraid of is taken away, that's also a sajda of shukr should be there. When, say, you got news that, you know, that there was supposed to be some disease or some illness was predicted that was gonna happen, and it got cured, for example. So the person right away, he makes the sajda of shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the...
You can do nafal
too? Nafal prayer in itself is a type of shukr to Allah. Salah is a type of shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you get the news, like something immediate, then the sunnah is to do one sajda. If you get, but in general, praying the nawafil, praying the qiyam al-layl, making dua to Allah, praying our five salah is a type of shukr to Allah. All of us, you know, because the ibadah itself is the blessing. The Prophet ﷺ said, praying duha, said in the morning, every morning, every joint has a right on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has a right on it. He gave you 360 joints. And He said, pray duha prayer, it gives shukr for all of those joints. You know, every morning you wake up, you have all your joints working and everything. Then the Prophet said, each of those joints, Allah has a right on it, that He gave it to you. So he said, praying duha prayer, two rak'ahs in the morning, it fulfills that, the gratitude for all those joints. So true, there is, you know, praying the nawafil, it shows we're using that body that Allah gave us, our hearing, our tongue, to give the shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when you hear the news, like, or, you know, this is what we find in the sunnah. When somebody comes to you, congratulations, you're if you're not at home with your wife, your wife had the baby boy, so right away you make the sajda. So when you hear the good news, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakallah khair. May Allah reward all of you. جزاك الله خيرا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك استغفرك واتوب اليك والسلام عليكم